when Martin Tyler brings out chaotic, catastrophic at its core, that's when you know you are seeing some history. Whew. Take a breath, folks. Anfield Knights, it's just what it is, man. Just what it is. Welcome back to the Mary Charles. I'm sorry as a brother. I'm really sorry. I wrote on Twitter, I go to JJ and I'm like, I'm very, very sorry for my brother tonight. But on a high, because that, what type of high is that? 4-3 on aggregate. Liverpool Football Club is back to the Champions League finals, back-to-back. Incredible, incredible. Charles, just take it over, man. Talk to us about what it feels like to be from more than a club, man.
It was all good just a week ago.
Truth.
Shit, we were riding high. We were riding high, man. They had Messi had locked up the Ballon d'Or. We were living good over here in Spain. But shit happens. It's been a couple of days. I'm still trying to process what the hell happened. I still, you know, really can't believe it. I just watched this happen last year.
Right.
I thought they would learn from their mistakes and you know, there would definitely be no chance that would happen again this year. You got to tip your cap to Liverpool. At the end of the day, you still got to score the goals. And they made it happen. It's just a really disappointing effort from everybody on the Barca side. It was like I said, it was just really surprising to see, you know, like players in, especially the guys in the midfield, you know, that guys that have played in World Cup finals and the highest levels of football, just playing like that. It was just so shocking. I've never seen Busquets play such a bad game. That was one of the worst efforts I've ever seen Rakitic give. There weren't too many bright spots. Sergio Roberto played terrible. Jordi Alba. My beloved Jordi Alba. What the fuck were you doing? Oh man, I don't know if it's lack of concentration. I don't know what it is, but these are people, like I said, these are people who have played and won World Cup finals.
Yeah, true.
And they play like this, like there should not be a stage that is too big for them. And they seem that this moment was too big for them. And like I thought when they made it to, you know, they got to halftime and it was just 1-0. And with the chances that we got in the first half, I thought, you know, our away goal was definitely on the way. I think I texted you and told you our away goal was on our way. I had a good feeling about it. I thought there'd be no way we would concede 3 goals in the second half. But Jesus, man, it was everything that could go wrong went wrong. And it was, like I said, it was bad. It's crazy to think, you know, in hindsight, how much Dembele's fucking up the goal last week. Just in the end, Messi was on the ground. He knew it. But it's just bad, man. It's just, like I said, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And it's just, you know, on the Barca side of it, it's time to regroup, rethink. We're going to definitely have to make some changes to the roster.
Before we get to the changes, I don't want to leave this part of the game. What do you think that, from what you saw, what did Liverpool do differently against, I mean, like you said, it was all good just a week ago. Messi was being crowned the king, and then the discussion started again. Is he better than Pele? Is he better than Maradona, etc.? It's almost like what we've talked about, like comparing eras with basketball. But like, what do you think Liverpool did differently to why Messi wasn't able to make the impact that he clearly had just once again a week ago?
I feel like they were pressing high last week. When they were pressing high, they had the better run of play last week. I think they didn't close down the middle in the first leg the way that they did in the second leg. I felt like every time Messi got the ball, he was a black man in Chicago. He was surrounded by people. As great as he is, he can't take on 4 and 5 guys. I feel like he created enough chances for the team to make some things happen. But, you know, as so many games have gone throughout the year, I tweeted earlier in the week after they lost to Celta Vigo on the weekend, how they're just bad without Messi. And those guys, like, if he's not there to be great, those other guys aren't there to pick him up. And it's just, you know, in all sports, like, your best player is not going to play great every single game. And it's incumbent upon the people who get paid, you know, there are guys on Barstool who are making $200,000-$300,000 a week that aren't playing up to their potential. We will get to Philip Coutinho in a minute, but it's like, I just like, as much as, and even then he had 5 shots on goal. He created 3 other chances for the first teammates. He did everything he could to get, you know, to get us that away goal. But at the same, you know, like I keep saying, if you're, and we can all agree, Barca is one of the, you know, year in, year out, Barcelona, they might not win the Champions League, but Barcelona is one of the 5 best clubs in the world consistently. And for you to be one of the 5 best
clubs, they could be the best club in the world. Like,
yeah, like
they just might not win the Champions League, but I think they're the best team in the world.
Like I said, but throughout the season, we've had these instances where, you know, like I said, we're the one of the 5 best teams in the world consistently, and we don't show up. The guys that are paid and the guys that have played in World Cups and the guys that, you know, you can't be that great of a team and the guy, you know, and the other guys not show up. And it's just, like I said, it was just very disappointing what I saw from Rakitic and Busquets and Sergio Roberto and Coutinho most of all. I thought, even though they gave up 4 goals, I couldn't put all 4 of those on PK. Vidal is a warrior. I know he's a little older, you know, he's kind of, you know, all of our players are a little bit older, but at the same time, like Vidal, like for somebody that started out the season not starting, he is invaluable to the team. I want him back next year. I want him locked in and as a regular starter next year, because the man just like, as much as, you know, I wouldn't say there was a lack of effort. He tries harder than everybody else on our team. And it's evident that he tries harder than everybody else on our team. Nobody fights the way that he fights. And I just like, even, you know, when things are going bad, you know, on the second leg, he is doing his thing and he's trying, he's all over the field. I sometimes forget, like I sometimes forget what position they actually put him in and what formation in, cause he'll be on one side of the pitch, trying to, you know, send a cross in, and then he's back on the other side of the pitch, you know, defending down the flank. So like, I can't be mad at the effort that I get from Vidal. I can't really be mad at Messi, because there were chances that he created and guys got to finish. That shot, Coutinho's got to finish one of those. Luis Suarez has to do something instead of just whining, bitching, and complaining and standing in an offside position when the ball's being played and just standing there. Like, I need more from him as well. You know, he needed knee surgery, so maybe he wasn't all the way healthy. But at the same time, like, it just showed a lot of problems. Everything, obviously, when you lose 4-0 and in the fashion that we did, it highlights everything that's wrong with the club. The lack of depth, the way they threw Malcolm hasn't played in forever in a big game, and you throw Malcolm on in the last 10 minutes. Like, we needed pace days ago. Like, why? Like, I love Malcolm's pace. I feel like Malcolm has a lot of talent, a lot of potential, a lot of room to grow, and he hasn't been given a proper chance. And then we throw him in there in the 70th minute. Like, hey, can you get us a goal? Like, I don't, it's just like, there's just poor management on a lot of sides. You know, Valverde's taking a beating for this loss, but, you know, at the same time, Valverde's not the one who gave up a fucking corner, a bank robbery, smash and grab, corner kick for the 4th goal. I mean, there's only but so much that, you know, falls on the manager. You know, for all the big games that Valverde's been in, like I said, Rakitic and Busquets, those guys have been in just as big as games, a bigger game. So, like, they need to show up, and they didn't. And 2 years in a row, this has happened to us. I don't know how we recover from this, but we got to make some sales. Some people got to go. Like I said, I can't wait till the Dutch boys get there. Hopefully, we can get De Ligt's contract situation under control so we can bring him in. But it's some changes got to be made. I love Luis Suarez, but I think it's, you know, we got to start looking at getting, we got to at least bring in another striker. Coutinho's got to go. Dembele's got to go, in my opinion. I feel like, as much as I love Dembele, when he's out there, he's amazing. But like we say on many of our pods, your best ability is availability. And he is never available in a game where we need him. You can be there for all the Copa del Rey games. We don't care. Nobody. If we lost the Copa del Rey and won the Champions League, nobody would care. So it's one of those things that we, you know, and I'm sure they would be fully.
No, they would, because then that would mean
it would
be
bad. It would be bad, but it would be forgivable if we won the Champions League instead.
But
it would not. It's,
I
not
think Copa del Rey is before the Champions League. So
it
would have been like,
no,
yo,
no, no. What I'm saying is, if this year ended and we had not won, if we had lost in the Copa semis or whatever, had we lost to Real Madrid when we played them, in the Copa. Had we lost to them, but we still ended up winning the Champions League, I feel like all would be forgiven because we won the Champions League. The season would still be seen as a success.
A big success.
As it is now. Mm-hmm. As it is now, we're still going to end up winning two of the three competitions that we played in, and the season is a failure.
That's exactly... Charles, like, you couldn't say it any better. Like, for our folks, like, we have a lot of Americans who are going to listen to this and, like, where, you know, football's not their main love or, like, maybe not even their first or second, right? And for people to understand of, like, you were in three competitions that matter throughout the year, depending where you are in the club, like, for Barcelona and Manchester City. Manchester City this Sunday has a chance to win. That'll be their second trophy, and they're going to be playing for a third in a couple weeks after that. And their fans are like, we would trade the other three in for the Champions League, 100%. And I feel like Barcelona would trade in their two trophies for just the Champions League just because it's been so long, right? Like, for them?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like even, you know, in recent history, it almost, like, Real Madrid hasn't even cared about the league really that much the last couple of years because they won in Champions Leagues. And in so many ways that you can almost make the argument that it hindered the moves that Real Madrid was forced to make because they kept winning the Champions League. It was that was the great cologne for the stink that they had on the last 2 years.
Or that we haven't been forced to make, if you will.
Right.
And that's because everybody's like, well, damn, we were – well. And honestly, unfortunately, to touch on Real Madrid, we're not going to make the day of, like, obviously for Barca. For me, of, like, when Ronaldo hit the bicep against Juve and they gave him the standing ovation, like, he remembered that. And it was like, all right, let me just go get this trophy and it's like, it's time to go. And he also had to keep it moving. He wasn't messing around with the Spanish and regarding the taxes. But we probably could have moved on from CR7 two or three years ago and got the most maximum value because he kept threatening, wanting to leave. And Zidane, like, helped him out and put him on that schedule, right? Of so he didn't have to even travel to some away games. And so that's when we were dope and we had, like, our B team was as good as, like, could finish second or third, like, in La Liga. Like, when our B team was dope and the only team we just couldn't mess with was Barca, but they could beat everybody else so then we could focus on championships. But Modric, we let him get too comfortable because he had a dope World Cup for Croatia. There's just no way he could have sustained that level of play because legs get old. And then we still have the Gareth Bale mess. But the reason why they didn't move on from Gareth last year is because CR7 put him in a terrible spot that he was like, yo, I'm finally bouncing. Zidane knew this, that he was going to bounce. I guarantee those people talked. And then they couldn't move on from Bale and get the most for him especially after his goal in the Champions League final last year against Liverpool. So Barcelona, like, has been building, and while Madrid has, like, deteriorated to a degree, but now they're both, like, this summer, I feel like they're both going to be like, yo, 300 mil, like, this is an arms race again, let's go. And we were denied it this year, the last couple of years. We almost had Madrid and Barcelona in the Champions League finals. We were super close to having Messi and Ronaldo, and we were actually super close to having Messi and Ronaldo, but Juve was messing around against Ajax. And you see what happens when you mess around against Ajax. We'll touch on them in a little bit. But this is a big crossroads. Madrid is ending the season for the first time with no trophies in almost a decade. No trophies at all. And Barcelona, here's a quote that we have. We promise this season we will do all we can to bring that beautiful trophy back to the Camp Nou. Messi with last season with Ayuso, he goes, they have been stung by it. Last season was really good as we did the double, but we all felt bad about how it went in the Champions League. This is him saying this last year when he got interviewed back in August. Let me make sure I have the quotes correct. This is
the preseason speech.
Yeah, the preseason speech and letting everybody know, like, yo, everything else is on the table. That's fine. If we win, we win. But Champions League is the most important. And that's because he knows CR7 was gone. He's like, nah, bump this. We're about to take over Madrid. And, like, Barcelona had an open chance to be like, no one's messing with us until this man retires. But now it seems like there's, and I feel so bad for him because France.
He cried.
Dude,
my captain cried.
100%. 100%. And he's been wearing the C like it really matters. And this is why I'm excited for him of, like, he may need to do some things with with Argentina this summer, just to keep it like, so he's able to keep this mentality of like trying to leave because he doesn't want to experience what happened. Man, this is crazy. I just can't believe. But now with like now we have it back and the preparation windows start today. 100%. Yeah, man. Who do you
Philip
keep?
Coutinho, I will
Coutinho's
move you.
gone. So.
I will pack his house up myself.
Oh yeah, just like the equivalent of Terry Rozier packing up Kyrie.
I will Kyrie Irving him today.
We
Get out.
will. We'll start naming that for everything when
Get
we're talking about
out.
getting rid of people. We'll just Kyrie you. We'll get your
He's
bags packed.
Kyrie. But yeah, he like I said, he's got to go. Like I said, I think we should sell Dembele. I know he's young, but
Don't
he's
love
not like I
it.
said.
Don't love
He's
that
not.
move.
He's never fucking healthy. And if we can turn that into like I said, I've been reading, Griezmann or some other strikers. We got some options. Your boy on Arsenal, bring him over. I mean, we just need some options.
Who?
Like at the end of the day, huh?
Who?
Like I said,
We ain't selling him. Not if we get
that's what I.
in the Champions League once we beat Chelsea in a couple weeks.
But we just gotta do
Boy,
some things.
bye
I think
with
one of the
that.
one of the hey these are the rumors, man. These are the rumors. But one of the things that I've been that I like that showed, and through all of this is the lack of depth that we have. When we needed a goal, the people that we tried to bring off the bench to fix things, these are not the people. So it's just interesting to see what this. I wouldn't say we're in like in a transitional phase, but we definitely need to start piecing some things together and get some of these, find some, get these young players that are actually valuable. I would have liked to see, especially when things are going south like that. I would like to see Carlos Alinha in there a little bit more. I like what he gives us. He's youthful midfielder. Arthur, I'm not sure. The bag. I got a mixed opinion on Arthur. I feel like I see flashes, but then a lot of times when I'm watching him play, I don't even notice he's out there. Which on some with some players, that's actually a compliment that you don't notice they're out there. But on
Yeah.
some, through other people, it's not. It's just like I said. We need some more dynamic players, especially if we're gonna play Barcelona football with the philosophy and the way that we want to play. Then we need to get some youthful legs up front because
I
we're
agree.
trying to. So,
I
like
agree.
that's all. I just would like to see more and some people. Like I said, we just gotta make some changes. Like especially with Coutinho. Like I almost feel like I was thinking about this earlier. Barca, in a sense, is almost like the Lakers. They had all the Lakers had cap space and they signed the wrong people. They did things and now their situation's kind of bad. Barca invested their money in Coutinho and Dembele and it hasn't worked out. And because of that, it's kind of, put us in an odd position here. If either one of those signings really worked out, we would the future and the prospects of going forward would be so much better. But the fact that we swung and missed on both of those guys and we put, 270 million or so into both of those guys combined, is definitely not a good return on investment. So, we'll be all right. We're still Barcelona. We'll be okay. Messi from what he's shown us this year. I think he's still got at least, 2 to 3 good more years in him. So, it's a tough way to go out. But at the same time, people, I try to be the person, to keep a little bit of perspective. It wasn't the semifinals. We did win the first leg 3-0. So I mean, it's not like I wouldn't say we're far off, but at the same time, we are not far off.
No, you're not. It's just also, but the clock is ticking, and you and I
Clock
have
is
had the
definitely ticking.
conversations about this on the side of like the comparisons between like Peyton Manning, LeBron, and Messi are so, like, so like in terms of like, yeah, they've actually won in championships, but it feels like there's meat still left on the bone a little bit. And granted, LeBron and Messi's career are not over, but it's just they had like the similar path. And like we're 18 being Peyton, like their similarities are of Brady like being the GOAT, and like where Messi, he's probably never ever going to play for a World Cup again, unless they just are like, yo, we, as a courtesy, but like will he be the man of what he is now, like was last year? Obviously we know that 5 years ago was when they should have handled their business. But and who's to know they were going to lose an extra time, but neither here nor there. The issue being that I don't want it to feel like it's an unfulfilled career of like we should not have discussions whether Messi's the GOAT or not. He just should be. But things like this happen to his teams more
To his
often than
teams,
not, bro.
to his teams. As we spoke in other in previous times, soccer is the ultimate team game. And so as much as like we lost that, like we lost 4-0. Messi's not within 20 yards of the ball in any of those plays because that's not what he does. He's not a defender. He's not. So like I totally understand that, but he was not a contributor in any of those four goals that they gave up. So there's part of that I understand, but there's another part of that that just, you know, as much as when he's the direct cause of why they won, I'm okay with that. But he also, like, I got to take into account that he's not a defender. He's not anywhere near that ball on that corner that they scored on. Anytime they score, they always show Messi's face. If you notice, Messi's just kind of standing there, but he's always at like midfield when he's just standing there with that blank stare on his face. You know, Suarez called out the defending because he's not a defender. That's not his job. So I mean, as much as you know, he's the captain, and I have loved the way and the pride that he has been our captain this year. The way he's led the team. I thought he did a great job. I really felt like he stepped into that role and took it seriously. So it definitely falls on him. But I mean, guys got to help him. I mean, I've watched so much of this season. You know, when PK didn't play or Messi didn't play, it's not on PK, Busquets, and Messi to do everything for this team. And I feel like we've become so dependent on those three people to either, you know, Messi to score all the goals and PK and Busquets to stop all the goals, that it's just, like I said, we've been putting Band-Aids on gashes for the whole season. And, you know, in the same vein, when we were talking about Real Madrid, Ronaldo can cover up a lot of had been covering up a lot of the problems they had because he's Ronaldo. When you have a generational player, they can cover up for a lot of people's mistakes. But that you know, as soon as that person's gone, like he was, you know, CR7 was gone this year, all of Real Madrid's warts showed through. And same thing kind of happened with Barca. Messi has, you know, even the game when we played, was that Villarreal we played, and we gave up four goals, and Messi came back, came off the bench to help us get that tie. He's the perfume. He covers up a lot of the warts that we have fundamentally as a team. And I've been reading that, like, does Messi make the other players like bad? Like, nobody's Messi's not affecting Sergio Roberto's defending. Messi's not making Jordi Alba turn the ball over inexplicably with a back pass that was, you like, it's just shit like that. It's not on him. I thought, you know, Ter Stegen's done all he could, but I feel like they, you know, a couple times they just left him out there to dry. So I mean, it's just bad, man. It's just bad. All I could say is that they better beat Valencia in the Copa del Rey. We're gonna have like real problems.
We will come back as we will discuss Barcelona and their plans in the off season. We would be remiss if we didn't transition very quickly, and now we are going to bring up some of the highlights from the Tottenham Ajax finish. Wow, just what an incredible one here. We'll let the Champions League commentators take it away very quickly with Lucas Moura. Charles, I'm not sure if anybody deserves to be in that situation more than Tottenham, and this is coming from an Arsenal fan. Tottenham had no signings this year. Nobody in, nobody out. They lost last year to Juventus, who they outplayed. They literally outplayed the 175 minutes of the 180 and lost in the round of 16 early. Then Tottenham, they had a chance. They were at Wembley Stadium last year, where was their home last year. Before they had to play to go to a final, having to play, I believe it was United last year, And then, as we know, Chelsea ended up winning the FA Cup. So that was their chance at trophies. And everybody's like, all right, Tottenham, all you guys do is just finish top four. There's no trophies to show, but you guys are young, consistent. And then they have no signings. Harold Kane gets hurt again, which unfortunately happens way too often. A phenomenal World Cup. Let's call it what I mean, his lead. But, oh my goodness, for them to get through and how they've had to come back even with what they had previously and didn't. They didn't, like, I just don't understand how they did it. It's incredible. Pochettino, let's call it what he is. I don't understand how people don't understand that he, like, he is a top five manager in the world. And United, it's not that I hate Solskjaer. I think Solskjaer is dope. But, man, why you just don't drop everything to go get this man if you were the number one grossing, number one revenue grossing school, number one, excuse me, number one revenue generating club in the world, number one revenue generating sports organization in the world, and not go get him. But you know what? He has a chance to win a trophy for Tottenham, which that would ring true for everything, and it would be incredible for them. But I just can't imagine everything that they're going through right now, and they're saying Harold Kane will be back. Charles, what did you see? Was it? How pumped were you? Because I know that you have a little bit of love for this team right now, even though you were talking about how much you hate the English, how much you hate English football. But I don't know. There's just four teams who are playing from English, from the Premier League, who are playing for a trophy in all of Europe. But I ain't got nothing to say but outside of that. That ain't none of my business.
I mean, we're not going to discuss Europa yet, because when it comes to Europa, we have both watched Arsenal week in, week out in Europe. I'm not in Europe, in England. They haven't been good in England. Chelsea hasn't been good in England, even though they're by some miracle of God, they're in third. Like, their seasons have been very, very tale of two seasons. Let's just say that. But when it comes to Tottenham and Ajax, the resiliency, man, they just kept fighting. Just, you know, to score a goal in the 96th minute is unbelievable. But I feel like they've done that, you know, multiple times this year, scoring, you know, very late. Llorente scoring a couple goals late. Son scoring some goals late. You know, getting this, you know, as much as I'm hurt, you know, about the Barca loss, to see my man Son in the Champions League final is gonna be dope for me to see. I'm expecting big things from him. I gotta, it's in my feeling, in deep in my heart, he's gonna score a goal. But yeah, man, they just kept fighting. They kept fighting. You know, they gave up that opening goal, and you know they found a way to scrap back in the second half. I kind of a little disappointed in Ajax. That I felt like they didn't really change up the way that they were playing the entire game. Wish they had I wouldn't say drop back, but at the same time, like they're still pushing guys forward, even though they need to be defending.
I didn't understand that at all. I don't care if you have, this is the way we play. Don't be stubborn. You have a chance to go to the Champions League final. And once Tottenham was like, oh, y'all still trying to press forward? Oh, we're good. We can do this too. Fine. We're going to let it all loose. And that's how 3 second half goals go. And this is how you end up having your fans going home in Amsterdam and having to do more things than what they thought they wanted to do out of defeat and out of sorrow instead of out of celebration. That, man, this thing was incredible. This whole, this last week, tell me this isn't one of the best products in the world for you to watch. Like, I'm sorry. This was incredible stuff this week.
So good. So just, it's amazing quality. Like I said, team sports at its highest level.
Yes.
Like, you know, we were speaking on, you know, the heart and the effort and the way that these guys gave of themselves in these games. Like I said, Lucas Moura, boo-hoo cried after the game. Poch, boo-hoo cried after the game. Messi, boo-hoo cried after the game. Like, these, it means everything to these guys. And just to see, you know, when, you know, and win, you know, in defeat or victory, you know, you see, just, it's, you know, for us to be basketball guys at heart, you know, yes, just the contrast in the way that, you know, you see Kyrie and those guys walk off when the season's over. And, you know, with no real look on their face, just no real, like, I wouldn't say carefree, but you know what I mean? And to see the, you know, the flip side of that, you know, guys like Lucas Moura and Poch just, like, crying, like, it, you know, like, it means that much to them. So,
yeah, I mean, man. Yeah. Like, we're going to make correlations right now with American sports in terms of American leagues. And that's because we're not followed by, like, everybody in Europe yet in terms of soccer pod. But we'll get there one day. But we're going to make correlations with folks. When you see Kyrie Irving leave the bench in Boston before the game was over, okay, that was him, like, trying to, like, make a statement, knowing that he was going to be covered. Like, he cannot be that naive. Like, so when people, like, at the end, he goes, well, I think I should have shot 30 times. You know, imagine if Messi was like, I wish I never even passed the ball to, like, he would never say something like, ever.
Right.
Never. And like, people don't understand. And then when you separate those things of, like, we're, like, I equate this, and I don't want to beat up on Kyrie because we did that yesterday in our basketball pod. So I've done enough of that with him. But I just want him to, like, see the correlation of, did you not see Harold Kane get so excited when that goal went
Sprint down
in?
to the field,
Dude,
sprint down to the field after the
he's
game.
healthy and he's gonna be so fun to watch in that final. Oh my God, that game, that match is incredible. Even I know I want them both to, like, go and, like, you're not worried about getting 3 points now. Like, go get a goal. Like, go win. You're not worried about where you're gonna be in the table
Yeah,
because they.
it's going to be an exciting final for sure. It's
I
going to be
think
some
so
rock and roll
too.
football,
It's gonna be great.
as Jurg puts it, rock and roll football.
Man, I guess we're gonna. I guess I am gonna beat up on Kyrie. Who was not on the bench in Game 7 to go to the NBA Finals last year on Boston's bench?
Mr. Flat Earth himself.
Bro, where was he? He had a, what they say, a deno thing?
Yeah.
Was that what it was? Or he had a prior commitment? That man didn't want to be in the stands if once LeBron was coming to do what he does. But if you were the leader and you trying to be a, and you talking about, like, I'm trying to lead these guys, like, these guys have to act a certain way. Bro, when Tatum dunked on Bron, I was just like, yeah, this is Jason's team now. And then he gave him the shove. I'm like, okay, they got a chance. And then Bron was like, nah, we're good. I'll close this out. But you know who wasn't there? Their so-called leader and possibly a person they're going to pay $200 million. He was not on the bench. Optics are everything. Optics are everything. And compare that to Harold Kane could have stayed back in England not thinking we had a chance to win. He went to there to Amsterdam, was with his guys. And was celebrating as if he was the one who just had that last goal with Lucas Moura. That's the difference, man. And it's so awesome to watch. Like, I love it. Man, it makes me so happy to see this, like, to see comebacks like that. It sucks as an Arsenal guy. Like, I wish Arsenal was in that position. But you gotta give credit to where credit's due. And Pochettino has his team. Like, please open the books for them so we can figure out whether they can get to the heights of. Can they be Manchester City? Can they be Liverpool right now? Because right now, Poch, if he gets one trophy, it's almost the equivalent of where the Cavs won their first championship. That's how big this is for them. Hats off, all my Tottenham fans, shout out. You know I've been carrying the water with Harry Kane, even though Charles has been hating lately on him. Actually, by lately, I mean forever. So I'm
I'm
gonna
gonna
carry the
keep
torch for Harry
hating. I'm gonna
Kane.
keep hating. His
Yeah.
replacement had a hat trick. That's all I'm gonna say. Like the thing that sucks about it is Lucas Moura scored a hat trick in the second half, and he might not even get on the field in the championship.
They got to go 4-3-3 and start him. Forget it. Just
He's
go
he's
all
he's.
out.
I'm with that because he's earned his place. Like is you know like I am a Tottenham fan. I'm a Tottenham supporter. Ever since Harry Kane got hurt, week in and week out. He has tried. He's like I really like him because he's scrappy as hell. Keeps fighting. I just you know I Vidal, Mora, like they're little guys, and but they try hard. Guys that have heart, they're feisty, and you know it was just you know for him to be as talented as he is and not get to play all the time, for him to take advantage of his opportunities like that. Like he's a true striker at that in that sense. Like he made the most of his opportunities, and fought it to the death. Literally the last kick, they won on the last kick of the game. It's unbelievable.
It's
You know,
incredible.
I hate it for Ajax. This is almost a dream season for them.
Oh, they're so fun to watch too. God, aren't they so fun? I
The
love. They
pucks.
play. They play the right way. Their build up. They are mini Barcelona, which is funny because then Barca's taking two of their cats next year.
I mean, they're just like they're pretty much they're Dutch Barcelona. I mean, we're to the point now where I think we're working on a partnership with them. So, I mean,
Oh,
yeah,
hell yeah. About to get hella money. Okay.
We're starting to partner with them. So, I mean, it's like they this is, you know, their board already announced that this is pretty much the end of all their young players. They're about to get a bunch of money in return for them, so that's good for them.
Shareholders,
They'll be
bro.
able to reallocate those funds. But I just like I said, I wish I mean, we both said I wish they just had made some changes. I'm not saying you got to park the bus, but you know. You got to try to do a little bit of hold up, especially in those in stoppage time. Like they're still pushing forward in stoppage time. Like you can just like try to hold the ball in the corner and run some time off and try to get some fouls and some other things. But nope, they went down their way. Barcelona, you're talking about there are many Barcelona. Both of the teams that play that style went down, you know, playing their style of play. And you know, as much as it's admirable to die on your shield, he's still dead. So, I mean, it sucked. I hated to see Frankie and De Ligt and those guys lay down on the field like that. I mean, that's heartbreaking. You know, one of the things that I think about in times like this is, you know, through my experience in athletics and the losses and the wins I've had, how, you know, those I remember games I lost when I was 8. I remember games I lost when I was 25, you know, like they were yesterday. And, you know, Lucas Moura will remember that for the rest of his life. But also, you know, De Ligt and those guys remember losing that game for the rest of their life. So, you know, that's the beauty of sports. You know, the opportunities are going to be there. As in any soccer game, the opportunities are always going to present themselves. It's just, yes, you know, who takes advantage, who makes them happen. Because, you know, the casual fan that doesn't really, you know, that don't love soccer, they think there's nothing going on. There are chances in there. And, you know, in both games, you know, Ajax had chances to add other goals. Barca had their chances to get their away goal. And, you know, in all sports, it's really a game of inches. So, yeah, going to be an exciting final for sure.
It really was fantastic stuff, and the final is going to be great. We'll dive in. We'll actually give previews for both. Like, we'll do a dive in on both teams next Thursday when we pod, because then that'll be a week and a half before Europa, and then we'll see what actually. Then we'll recap all the domestic fallout and the tables there. I want to give you a quick point before we go. Is that Tottenham was second on the table the day Harry Kane got injured. And they were very, very close if, you know, Arsenal Football Club and United, if they would have handled their business. They would have put pressure on Tottenham this weekend to win without Son at home against Everton. And Everton's a scrappy bunch. But that's not how it worked out. I just want you, just like, if anything, go and look at the highlights. Actually, you should know this because you saw Tottenham and Barcelona play this year. So you should know what time it is. Like, go and look at the highlights, bro. Like, I just want you to be able to see. Like, Harry Kane's a beast.
Harry Kane is a beast, but in the same. Okay, we're gonna make another parallel back to the Celtics.
Oh.
In the same way that Kyrie Irving is the Celtics' best player, that doesn't mean the Celtics play best when he's out there.
But they do. But Tottenham does, and you're wrong on.
Hey, I'm not even saying in the results. Sometimes I speak on the spirit in which they play. Sometimes, like in the way that Barca is so dependent on Messi that I feel like they don't feel like they need to do as much themselves. And, you know, when your best player goes down, then you take the accountability that, hey, I got to step up. And so I feel like that in Harry's absence, I've seen more from Son. I've seen more from Eriksen. And I've seen those guys elevate themselves. So it's not that I'm exactly knocking Harry Kane, but I feel like the rest of the guys play better when he's not there. Because it forces them to elevate their games. Because I feel like Son is aggressive in a way that he's not when Harry Kane's out there.
So let's agree. I think we can agree on this. The individuals play better when he's not there, but as a team, they're not as collectively back.
Yes,
with
yes, I'm totally with you on that. Yeah.
Okay. And the only reason why, like, the correlation absolutely with Kyrie again, good Lord, man, we giving him so much lip service, but it is what it is. When you take more shots than points than you score in the series, then yeah, we are going to talk about in a game that's supposed to be based upon more efficiency. And there's
that
more.
Sounds like Coutinho takes more shots than he scores because he doesn't ever score.
Your boy. And shout out to Liverpool Football Club. I wonder if Jurgen gave him a little wink. Oh, you wanted to sit out? We got
how
you.
How dare Philip Coutinho wear the number 7 jersey of David Villa and the Get him out.
So great.
Get him out. What team? Well, honestly, if PSG doesn't buy him, who wants? Like, I can't. Obviously, he's talented. We all know he's talented. I can't see a team really wanting to put that much money into him, though. He's fragile.
Yeah, we'll talk about all season moves with that. We'll delay Europa because we just need to really, really get into it with Barca. We've been holding off for a couple of days just so Charles can get into his feelings. This is great. It was awesome what we needed to hear. And unfortunately, like what some of the team, what some of the Barca supporters needed to hear too. We'll solve their problems. We'll figure it all out. It's going to be fun. The transfer season is going to be upon us here soon. But there's trophies to be won. domestic cups around. There's titles to be won in an epic on Sunday, 10 matches in the Premier League going on at the same time. There's nothing like it. You got teams showing up on like a seventh NBC channel that we didn't even know. USA Network's going to be ridiculous. MSNBC, CNBC, NBC Sports, Univision, like all these, like if you got like any type of corporate something with NBC, they go make sure don't matter, like everybody will get their little shine on for at least one day on Sunday.
They're running out of broadcasters. They're gonna have to have the cast of Law and Order SVU host one of those games.
Well, shout out to Margarita, right? What's
her name? I'm just thinking about Ice-T calling a goal.
Oh, he'd be hilarious. No doubt. So yeah, everybody on NBC, everybody at work on 10, so it'll be fun to recap after that. Charles, any last words for folks? I think we're done with Marcelo. It's okay. Actually, no, we are going to end it. We'll ask you again in a month. Is Valverde the manager for Barcelona next season? Does he come? Are they coming to the U.S.?
I think so.
Wow, he's going to get one more chance.
Not because of what he. I just don't feel like I don't feel like the list of replacements is that long. And so, you know, I've heard Jose's name kicked around and some other people, but I don't feel like those people would be better options for us. Now, if they want to throw the money and bring, like, I'm almost at a point now where obviously, you know, as a Barcelona homer, I feel like, you know, we should throw all the money at Pep. We should see all those guys and try to bring Pep back home. That's my. You know, I never wanted Pep to leave. I think Pep should be the lifetime manager of Barca. He's of Barca. He's for Barca. He should be at Barca. You know, Mourinho was an assistant at Barca at one time, so he does have that tie. But, I mean, I think they need, you know, as much as I like to have a Barca man as the manager, it might be time for an outside opinion to coach our team and really give the shape some use. Like, I feel like they're... You know, I'm not saying they should go off. They should try to go get Jurgen or go get Poch. But I feel like somebody that's not of Barca could take, you know, sees what we have and can maybe take a different form with it. But I mean, like I said, just due to lack of options, I feel like he'll be the manager next year. I got a question. Now I got a question for you. Given this is back to English football for a second. Given that we have the four teams in the two European finals. And Man City, who's might be the best team of those teams, not in it. Who would you say right now is the best team in England?
I will postpone my answer to next week, sir.
Fair enough. Because there are five teams who have the chance to win a championship, win a trophy in the next month.
The reason why I want to wait till next week, don't want to be right away on recency bias. Let me answer that next. That's a great question. I don't mean to duck it too.
That's fair. We'll speak on it more next week, because then Man City might have solidified the championship, and then we'll have that's what I'm saying. You got Man City over here, yes, as the champions, then you got your two teams in the Champions League final, and your two teams in the Europa final. That's a great year for England, obviously, but the fact that, you know, the four teams that are in your championships aren't actually the best team, haven't been the best team within the country.
Let me say it like this. Let me do the tiers. I will answer your question a little bit. That's a great point by you. Here are the tiers. And I don't want to say that they're one. They're both 1As. And the only reason why I'm going to say their names in this order is, let's use it because of alphabetical order. Okay, so alpha order. So I don't want to give away where my thoughts are. Liverpool and Manchester City are 1A, 1A right now. They're on a different tier. And that's because I like to do seasons back-to-back, even including how teams do with some of their players being in major tournaments in the summer. So you can actually see the depth and by how they've been managed. So Liverpool and City are in two different tiers. If you were playing for trophies in May and June, because of just how the schedule works, then you have to be in a different. So those two are different, because that's 2 years in a row where they both have been. The next tier, you know what, just keep it at that tier right there. They call it the Big Six, but here's what's potentially going to happen. Manchester City is going to be on the road. They're playing an away game. I think it's at Brighton Hove Albion. And if they win the 3 points, they control their destiny to win the Premiership back-to-back, the domestic, which would be incredible. company's goal this early this week. Holy shit, that was ridiculous. We didn't even touch on that, but we will talk about Manchester City next week. But if City does that, Liverpool and Tottenham, that means Liverpool, well, unfortunately, is not going to be playing for the trophy that they most want. Well, they are playing for it. That means they will not get the trophy they most want because it's been a 29-year drought for the Premiership for them, which they would ease. I think City would trade places with Liverpool right now, and Liverpool would trade places with City. They would prefer that. And that City would be playing for Champions League because they built their team for that. Now, Tottenham, for example, they did what they needed to do to qualify for Champions League again. White Hart Lane is going to make them money. They're going to make money off of Champions League. But if they get a trophy, that puts them in another stratosphere. And then if Arsenal gets back into the Champions League and Chelsea, if Chelsea wins, if they win the Europa, Chelsea would have won three trophies in a row. The Premiership from 2 years ago with Antonio Conte getting them the Premiership is they were eighth, so they didn't have any midweek games, so they just Hazard and N'Golo Kanté were just ridiculous 2 years ago. And then Chelsea won the FA Cup last year, Antonio Conte's last game, because the board didn't like him, the owner didn't like him, and so they're like, yeah, you got to go, because they're cutthroat here. You win trophies, you win championships, and you get cut. Like, you lose your job. It's crazy. That's why people get so crazy on sports work over there. And then if Chelsea beats Arsenal, then that would be three straight trophies. You know who's left out to dry in all of this? Their number one revenue-generating club in the world, in all sports, Manchester United. That's crazy to think about that five of those teams are going to have an impact in terms of a trophy in May and June, and United already knows their place next year, and it's a good chance they're going to lose their best players. That is wild.
I would say as bad as this week has been for Barca, I would say Man United is the big loser in all of this.
And the other comparison here is that now we have another American sports correlation we can make. The Lakers and United? Oh, my God. Are they not the same right now? They're absolutely the same. Oh my gosh. This is wild. I cannot wait till next week after to see what happens and how the table is going to shout. Like, it is clear as day. It is clear as day. These dudes are not. It's just so great. I cannot believe this.
Not to mention when we talk next week, there's a chance United will have lost at the weekend too.
100%. 100%. We could easily bury them. Like, it doesn't matter what they do.
No, they're in sixth regardless, but I could just see it being a complete shit show that they lose like 5-0 to some team that I don't even know how they play this week, but they could lose to Huddersfield by 3 goals or something, and it just being like just the it's gonna be bad. I think this week
that's their issue.
Yeah.
to pile on them a little bit, the top six have against the bottom the top six the bottom. Guess who's the only gotten or I guess these been not get all Manchester Ooh. United. So the top six against the bottom three teams got all 6 points against them. So just think about the possibility of points. And United knows that if they win two matches in a row, and say, for example, where Tottenham or Chelsea had slipped, or Tottenham and Arsenal both slipped, which they both did, so it was in their hands. And they got 1 point. They drew after being up 1-0 against Huddersfield, who is the last in the table. That's how bad things are for them right now. And this is the correlation is this is how bad things are. They have the Rambuses. It's like the Rambuses running United with the Lakers right now. It's so bad. And I'm all right with it. It's great.
Ed Woodward's face every time they show him is hilarious. Every time they show him in the stands after they give up a goal, his face is just classic to me.
It's so brutal. It's so brutal. We go get on it. Charles, tell them where they can find the pod, brother.
We're posting it. It's going to be, it's obviously we do all our stuff through Anchor, but it's on iTunes, Spotify, Google, all the platforms that I put it on. We'll make sure when we post it, we put all the links up. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at CharlesLittle15. Currently in a social media exile, but I'll make sure I come back out of retirement to post that stuff. You know, just look at that, you know, check it out, retweet us, add us, comment, reply, like us, do all that stuff that you got to do on social media. You know, we're trying to grow the pods. We're trying to give you guys as much content as possible. You know, just support. Keep rocking with us.
There it is. Appreciate you all being with us. Charles, send us out.
Holla.